this. It's the lighter side of the dark side, your Thursday Night Freak Show. What a studio. We got a packed studio tonight. It's amazing. She's back.
I'm back.
Nicole Six is back.
Yeah. I was only gone for a week, but I guess it was a very long week.
I termed it a hiatus, but you want to say give a toast to all of our...
Hello.
Hello.
We have some old... three friends that have been on the show before, and one that was supposed to call in once, but he got too stoned and did not. We have...
I have a very good excuse.
I bet you do. We have, and I'm going, we've got right close to the camera, Michael Simmons, the filmmaker extraordinaire, somebody's always around beautiful, beautiful women, and the creator of the LA Fetish Film Festival.
Yes.
Among other things, and we'll get to know some
fetishes
other things.
Fetishes and you. Surrounded by beautiful women? Mark, are you just booking guests to remind you of you?
Exactly, exactly. And next to you, just one of the most beautiful women. We love having you on the show. And
I love being here.
Michael was the one who brought you on the show for my birthday show, which apparently our former co-host forgot about. But I didn't forget about it. You were always a delight. Last time you came with the Communatrix, who apparently seemed to really take a shine to Nicole Six, as a lot of our guests do. But
I do all right with the women.
And we have she's writing films. She's doing smut at Sanctuary, all sorts of fetish events. You love her. You want to get beaten by her, Allison Lay.
I love this. I should come here all the time just to get my ego boosted.
Right. I don't know. We'll see. Any more hiatuses, we might have a substitute co-host. I don't know.
She'll whip everybody into shape.
Next to you, and I didn't know he was coming on. I didn't even know he was in town. And wearing an appropriate ministry shirt.
Yeah.
My friend, the 420 comic.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Peterson.
Nice to see you guys.
Isn't straight
from Denver.
Isn't it kind of cheating if you're performing to people who are high? Because everything's so much funnier then.
Well, they are a tough crowd. I mean, they can be lethargic. So you got to really whoop them up, you know?
Well, we'll see. Every time you tell a joke, look at Jeffrey and see if that's a tough crowd, because it looks like he's living up to his name tonight. Look at you right in the eye.
I've got Californication all over me.
I'll bet you do. Can you smell that, Dana?
Yes. Smells a little like
he
the
smells
sea.
Delicious.
Yes. Because next to you, it's been a while since you've been on the show. Last time you were on the show, you actually were a substitute co-host. You haven't been on in 2015.
No, not yet.
No,
not this year.
No, you first time you were on, you bit me. Then the next time you were on, you got the next time you were on, you got electrocuted.
Yeah, and then breath play.
You got choked, and then the last time you were on, you were a co-host, and we played strip poker. That's right.
We did. We
played strip poker. It's
and then we ended the night chasing each other around the table.
The beautiful Jenna Sharp.
Hello.
The beautiful Jenna Sharp. So let's get the sponsors and all the stuff out of the way real quick, because we got a lot to talk about. Doomy's Home Cooking, we all love that. You ever been to Doomy's Home Cooking, Jeffrey?
No, I have not.
Well, if you get the munchies, this is the place in LA to go. It's Doomy's Home Cooking, 1253 Vine Street, right where the M Bar used to be on Fountain and Vine.
Okay.
The best vegan food you've ever had. Like chicken fried steak, Philly cheesesteak, Big Macs on the secret menu, the nachos. And I know you love nachos.
Yeah.
We're named one of the 10 best nachos in L.A. by L.A. Weekly. The only one without meat, but you wouldn't even know they didn't have meat. Last time I had a pulled pork sandwich, I could barely finish it. It was so meaty and delicious, but there was no meat in it.
Wow. I think that would be a taste explosion. That would be bizarre.
It was a taste explosion in my mouth. Go to Doomy's Home Cooking, 1253 Vine Street, if you're in L.A. Also, Audible.com. We all love Audible.com. Mm-hmm. If you go to DarkMarkShow.com, you can get a free book. Free audiobook, free 30-day trial at audible.com. I will just put in marijuana here on audible.com.
Things to listen to while high.
And right here, Big Weed, an entrepreneur's high-stakes adventure in the budding legal marijuana business. Free. That's 6 hours and 20 minutes. Smoke Signals, a social history of marijuana, medical, recreational, and scientific. There's so much stuff. Humboldt's, Life on America's Marijuana Frontier, the Marijuana Chronicles. The Cornbread Mafia. All sorts of marijuana, The Last Pirate, going to pot. You can't lose. Let me see. There's so much stuff about marijuana. And if we put in nylons, because we have the nylon girls here.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention
this
Allison.
This is going
to
be a weird search.
Allison and there you go. Das Nylon Escort Girl by Valerie Nylon. 1 hour and 4 minutes. Looks like a real smutty book. You can get that free. Go to audible.com right there. Das Nylon Escort Girl. I don't know if it's in English, but it looks good. The cover already is looking good.
You had
there's
me
no
free.
Nylons on it.
As long as there's pictures.
The picture is very
it's
nice.
It's not yet rated, by the way.
Ooh, I like
that. That just means it's going to be pictures.
So that would, well, it's inaudible, so there's no pictures. You just hear it, but there's, I'm sure there's descriptions of sexual activity all over
the place. You can look at it while you're on the internet.
So it might frighten you a little, but you might like it.
So go to darkmarkshow.com, click on the audible button, whatever you want, 50 Shades of Grey, Stephen King, and John Grisham, whatever you want, it's on there. It's on there. Just click on it, and you'll get a free book and a free 30-day trial. Also, one more. I can't even get it out because I can't believe Michael has experience with these people. AdamandEve.com, the number one toy store on the internet.
Yes. Adam and Eve is the largest distributor, I believe, in the world for toys.
And when we're talking toys, we're not talking Tonka trucks. We're talking vibrators, lube, all sort of anal beads, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they have a very interesting way of selling it. I know this from, because I know everybody there very well.
Right.
Is
tell me when you,
I will. I almost bought the president here, but he was busy tonight because they're all in town. They're based out of North Carolina. What Adam and Eve does real quick is assign you a counselor when you call in your order. And if you like the counselor, you get in a little dialogue about your taste, and they make recommendations. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if there's phone sex, Mark, but, you know, you can always call in and find out for us.
Oh, good. Good. I would actually discourage people from calling in and using the code that I'll be putting on tomorrow so that I can get the commission off the sales for AdamandEve.com and AdamMail.com, the number one gay sex toy store on the net. Now, why is there... What is the difference between Adam Male and Adam and Eve?
My guess would be the taste of the two cultures, so to speak. They kind of mingle and kind of don't. The toys are going to be different. I think actually Allison, who is so good at explaining.
Allison, what would be the difference between Adam and Eve, a heterosexual toy store, and a homosexual toy store?
My guess would be that a hetero marketer is looking more at women buying the toys, and a gay male market, you're really looking for more hardcore. It's more, this is what you're using it for.
Right, well, what we bored people with our Adam and Eve. I can't believe we bored people with our sex toy, our sponsor. But if you go to Adam and Eve or Adam Male, we'll have codes tomorrow. Get some dildos, get some sex toys, get some anal beads, get some lube.
Well, my guess would be also that there probably aren't as many fleshlight commercials like popping up when you're like looking at a dildo. It wouldn't be a fleshlight show up.
Well, that's a good thing about ordering on Adam and Eve is you don't get all the pop-up ads and all the crap. You just go, you buy a sex toy, boom. Just go to the links that I'll be posting tomorrow. I'm already posting them on our Facebook page.
Sounds great. I need some new stuff.
And one more thing before I go, because apparently Jenna and I were at the same place last night. We didn't even see each other.
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, this happened also last year.
It got really full.
Well, it got very full. This happened last year because I was doing my show at the LA, I kept saying Fetish Film Festival, the LA Fringe Festival.
Right.
The Hollywood Fringe Festival. I did my show last year. I ran into you at the tent at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. You were going to see somebody else's show. And apparently, I think that was my last show, so you couldn't see it.
Yeah, it was like one of the last evenings.
Right. Well, and so, but you can tell the Hollywood Fringe Festival is so much fun.
It is. I had a blast. I was the actual very first person to purchase a drink.
Oh, really?
I was. Right. And I had to take a picture. And Tweedledee and Tweedledum were behind me.
I remember Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Well, it's not too late this year because you can go see my new M-Man show.
Yay.
All new. Blue Balls Knoll. I'll be performing at, you're listening to this live, Saturday, June 13th. And you're laughing already. 8:30. This Saturday, June 13th, 8:30. Friday, June 19th at 7:30. Friday, June 26th at 10:30.
What's the location?
The location is at the complex theaters.
Okay.
Right next to the Dragonfly. Excuse me. The Shepherd Studios Theater at 6472 Santa Monica Boulevard. If you go to HollywoodFringe.org, look up Blue Balls Knoll, look up Dark Mark. You'll get all the information. Buy advance tickets on the site because they will be $5 with the coupon code GOTH.
Yay.
But in GOTH, cool. You get them. Well, I'll cop you, but... our listeners, put in GOTH, and I will get. I will definitely get you $5 tickets. They're $12
at the
door.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Oh yeah, no. Just tell me what day you want to go, and I will definitely hook you up, and then we'll go to the, we'll get the first drink afterwards.
Awesome.
Because you can go get drinks, and then and they always they have food trucks and the whole thing. You go see a play, you go back, you get some more drinks. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like
the especially since it's the Dragonfly.
The like Dragonfly. Well, the Dragonfly
home sweet home.
Is mm-hmm. central for the. Yeah. They had a tent across the way. Now the party's at Dragonfly. You go mm-hmm. to Dragonfly, your party. You go see a show. You go back, have some more drinks, see another show. It's always a fun time.
How long does this go on for?
A month. At least, right? Like 3 weeks?
3 weeks. I think, well, this is opening weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll love it. It's opening weekend right. This weekend, and I think it goes through the end of June.
Never
so
been.
So many burlesque shows, Michael. You have mm-hmm. to go and see them.
There's
They're
a lot
amazing.
Of cool shows. There's a lot of cool shows.
Cool. Good.
But the L.A. Fetish Film Festival is a whole different thing. Have you ever been to the L.A. Fetish Film Festival, Nicole?
No, but obviously most of you guys have.
Michael, tell us about how you came up with the L.A. Fetish Film Festival.
I actually, it was kind of weird. I directed a movie called American Fetish, and I hooked up with Sir Nick, okay? And he kind of, I met him through another movie I did, but he came on board and introduced me to the entire scene in L.A.
Now, were you in the scene already?
No. And I was not.
You were vanilla at one time, Michael Simmons?
Yeah, but I have my fetishes, which made me overqualified.
Oh, tell me about those.
Look at the nylon girls. Speaks volumes.
Pantyhose fetish.
Tights, nylon, pantyhose. Just I love. We'll get into how
we'll
that,
get that
came
okay,
up.
Okay, so
that's a whole.
So, okay,
nother,
so, okay, so go
that's
ahead.
That's almost a whole other show.
I know. Trust me.
There's memoirs.
So you were vanilla, and you made a documentary about the fetish culture.
No, it was a. It's a movie that's all over Hulu, Vudu,
it's a narrative film about the fetish culture.
But just about broke me. It was shot in 35mm film, mm-hmm. and it's a pretty good movie. It's finally making some money after 5 years, but
it's very enjoyable. I like it.
And that's from
Thank
the expert,
you,
right there.
That's very sweet.
You're talking yourself down.
No, so
yeah. Don't give yourself a hard time.
So
American Fetish, the greatest film ever made.
You were ahead of your time though. I mean, that's 5 years before.
Way ahead of my time. No, it's I consider it my past, but
right. It
stunned me. That in L.A., with everything going on and fetishism, I always thought was almost more impactful and more, and it's the experts say it takes more of a higher IQ to actually understand it clearly, and it sounds like a generalization, but it's been backed
up.
Well,
let me ask the expert, Nicole, since you have a higher IQ than I do, would you say that's true?
I haven't seen your film yet.
Well, no. People with interest
fetish in general.
Oh,
people with BDSM and fetish draws a more intelligent crowd. And I will back that up right now in this show.
Well, that's just
with
common
everything
sense.
Everything I've met.
You have to be open-minded. You have to be able to put things together and be able to trust your own instincts. And the only way you can do that is to be very confident in your coherent reasoning skills.
And exactly, and understand other people very well.
Yes, you have to be able to put yourself in their position.
Yeah, it really takes a thought process.
And by the way, that was the moment of intelligence by Nicole Sigman. We try to have one on every show. But anyway, so
can we start tiring up now? Okay,
maybe.
Now.
So go ahead.
So it just dawned on me that there's no fetish film festival here, and then it just, I have a massive creative epiphanies. And
this was 2000, 2001?
Yeah, this was actually...
Or 2009, 2009, okay.
I had the idea for a few years, and then finally I picked a partner who I will not name.
Right.
And he was a doctor who promoted clubs on the scene.
Right.
A neurologist, and he almost OD'd, so I had to drop him as a partner. So we really didn't get started till 2011.
Right.
And it was, I produced tons of videos and movies and stuff like that, but I had never produced a large live event. And that is a whole nother planet.
Absolutely.
And it is far more difficult. And because people are fluid and, you know, you're making, you're trying to find an audience, you're trying to find taste.
Right.
Like what I like in fetishism doesn't mean she likes it, he likes it, she likes it, or anyone else.
Well, I like what they're doing right now. They're flirting with each other. I like that. Like Jeffrey's right in the middle of that.
Yeah, well,
that would be an example of a fetish.
Well, next year I'm starting the erection festival, so this is appropriate.
Are you serious?
Erection festival?
Maybe.
I'm fun. I'm down.
I'm looking at Jeffrey. I think that's
a I got a half chub from that one. Yeah.
So we haven't even started the Erection Festival. It's got a half chub.
Okay.
So that's right out of the gate. That's
incredible. Can you take performance?
Things can only go up from here.
Can you take performance enhancing drugs for this?
Oh, yeah.
We insist on it.
That's fair. Yeah,
we hand
them
out
at the door.
Performance. Oh, awesome.
So. Who needs performance enhancing drugs with you two? Yeah. I can't even imagine.
I mean, like, if you're really excited, come in 30 seconds. I'm going to get bored pretty quickly.
Oh. Exactly. I'm going for longevity here.
Yeah, you need the drugs for longevity.
All right, so it's not to get it, it's to sustain it.
Right.
Precisely.
Right. Well, it's a long night.
I don't think that's a problem for me either, but...
It's an erection festival. I want to be up for the challenge, so
I got
to speak.
It, yes. So anyway.
It's not going to be a short festival. That's no
the
fun
first
for anyone.
Year was really, really special. I mean, it was incredibly hard work. Its success was very mixed, but you feel like you accomplished it.
Right.
And it was just amazing. And I think you guys were involved with the first one, right, to some degree?
I came in at the second.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah. Yeah. It was me and... Kat Raven, who I think has been on the show before.
She hasn't, but I love Kat Raven.
She hasn't.
I gotta get her on.
Sometimes she's
stoic. We'll have to bring her.
Please. Yeah. I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah, you have to inject the whiskey Jack directly into those veins.
She's been invited, and we will have whiskey and Jack if she wants to come. Kat, if you're listening to the show, we'll have whiskey and Jack for you.
I'll bring some. And ice.
Whiskey and ice. Fireball, whatever you want.
We don't have ice.
This is a thing, too. Here's a little piece of advice.
I'll bring ice for Kat Raven.
Yay.
A little piece of advice on starting events in L.A. We came up, like, instantly, me and the other partner who dropped out, designed the logo.
Right.
And the logo was beyond perfect. And the logo created the branding. It creates the illusion. Mm-hmm. It creates the platform in your imagination of what it is.
Right.
Because over the years, we're going into our fifth year, it's been a little up and down. It's very, as we know, this is not a great thing to say, but because there's not a lot of disposable income, nightlife in LA is tightened up.
Right.
So you have to really be inventive and reach out. And not lose faith and be smart about what you're spending, not spending, and doing and stuff like that.
And it's about the time you thought up the Nylon Girls?
Well, it's really interesting because I see the festival as like the Lakers and the Nylon Girls as the Laker Girls.
Okay.
Except here's the thing is that there's two or three things about the Nylon Girls. I want to make crystal clear is that every single individual who is a Nylon Girl is very smart, is a creative artist, does not fit in any mold, and has slowly, if not before, but during this process, embraced her sexuality, mm-hmm. her ability to exhibit what looks good on her sexually. And the greatest thrill I get out of this is really over the years to watch the women who have stayed with us or moved on grow from it.
Right.
And really go out on their own and build confidence. And like Allison and Jenna, I've known these girls for years and I know a lot about them. But to watch the growth of I consider two of my best friends.
Right.
Is fabulous.
And Allison's looking at you very, very oddly. Now, how did you become how did you become a Nylon Girl?
Oh, that's actually a really funny story.
Oh, maybe we didn't hear this. Let's hear this.
So actually, I was introduced by a friend of mine to Michael, who was working wardrobe for the Nylon Girls at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought me over and she's like, you need to do this. I know you need to do this. I know you'll be perfect for it. And we were at an event at the Dragonfly, some Boulay Brothers event.
Right.
And she brought me over and introduced me to Michael, and Michael took a look at me. We introduced each other, and what do you do? And told him a little bit about myself in the scene. And
were you Dom at the time?
No, I was not. I had been doing a stage performance.
Okay.
And he took a look at me, and he said, okay, you do stage performance? That's good. Turn around. And I did a little spin, and he stopped me. Grabbed my hips, said, stay there. Looked at my ass and said, you're in. I'll see you at such and such a date.
Sir.
I'll see you at such and such a date for the auditions.
I knew talking to her, the IQ and talent was so high that there, I wanted to find the flaw, and there was no flaw. Actually, ooh. Allison, a small note, she has a really large background in the BDSM world.
Yeah, I've been in the scene for about 8 years now.
Yeah, and we all
know, just in the community itself.
A lot of the same people. And a lot of those people have come in and out of like the festival and helped and stuff like that. It's quite a community. It really is. And of course, there's all sorts of drama within it and all sorts of.
We'll talk about that. And by the way, Allison, I do like the. What you've done with the hair, the Betty Page mohawk sort of thing. I
think
that,
thank you.
That is a nice, that is a hot thing. But Jeffrey, I don't like what you've done with your hair, but that's kind of, you've always had the same hair. But Jeffrey.
I was just told it made me look younger. Right. By the lady sitting next to me on the plane. So.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Well, she I'll was 80. That.
Yeah. But you live in Denver now.
I live in Denver, Colorado, the cannabis capital of the world.
Now, here's the thing. Now, every comedian that I know, oh, trust me, I went to the edible store when I was out there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like in a strip mall, like right next to a Target. It's really weird. But I'm serious.
It's like everybody's stoned at the mall, though.
Everybody's
Mark
always stoned
at the mall. Colorado. Yeah. I mean, it was always around. Now it's just. Really around.
But Jeffrey was supposed to be on our show. Were you supposed to call? We had a 420 special last year.
Yes.
You were supposed to call in.
I was a little busy. I was opening for Cheech and Chong, and at the exact time I was supposed to call in, I was talking backstage with my two idols, just chit-chatting. These guys were like having me do like impressions for them. I mean, it was like I had their captive attention, and it was just it blew my mind. So
doing impressions of them in front of them?
No, it was hilarious. Cheech was asking me, he was like, "Hey, not do Gary Busey, man," and I'd be like, "Okay, I'm Gary Busey," and then he's like, "Do McConaughey, man, do McConaughey," and I'd be like, "Oh, all right, and, you know." So it was weird that the guys I looked up to are now asking me to do. He does impressions for him.
Jeffrey does great impressions. But as you know, almost every comedian, I'm maybe the one that doesn't, but every other comedian smokes pot. When did you develop the 420 persona? Because you had to probably, I would imagine when you started, you weren't the 420 comic yet.
I really started right out from the gate and as the 420 comic, and I had several people say, that's probably not a good idea. You're going to pigeonhole yourself. And the weirdest thing is, like 10 years before I did comedy, I was in a singer in a metal band in Burbank, and I would see George Lopez at the store. And he wasn't famous then yet. And he would just kind of mess with me, like he'd see me and I'd be stoned, and he'd go like, "Hey, Jeff, you know, you can buy stuff other than cereal or donuts, dude." And like he was hilarious. So then 10 years later, I got the guts to do stand-up comedy because I was really intimidated by it, and I bumped into George Lopez and I said, "Yeah, I got into comedy." And he goes, "What kind of comedy do you do, man?" I said, "Pot comedy." He goes, "You got to stick with that, man. You could be the next Cheech and Chong." So I really just believed in it. And
did you tell him that you've discovered cheese and other things?
Exactly.
My status has really gone up in the world. I've started buying higher class pot foods.
Well, I just discovered a vegan place that serves pork, so I'm going to go there.
but it's funny because you were the first specialized pot comic that I had seen.
Yeah.
And now there's Stoner Rob, Medicinal Michael. There's other guys. So what separates you from, and there's millions of comics that smoke pot and talk about pot on stage. What differentiates your act from everybody else?
I'm older than those guys.
Well, that's true.
<I'm
just kidding. laughs> More experience.
I'm just kidding. No, you know what? This has come straight from the heart. There's no pretense in this. I'm not trying to follow a wave or anything. I just was really inspired by that genre of comedy, Cheech and Chong, where I just always loved Cheech and Chong and George Carlin and that kind of stoner hippie comedy. And I really saw that was missing from comedy. And there's some other guys that do it. I don't even want to name them because
I just named them. But when you started doing it, there wasn't that many. I mean,
no, there really wasn't. And
pot wasn't as available then.
It wasn't. And that's where I'm a 24-year cannabis activist. So before that, when I was in a metal band, we were singing about legalization. So
what metal band were you in?
I was in a band called Night Riot.
Night Riot.
Night Riot.
When they ran out of pot.
From 88 to, get this, from 88 to 92, we were the number one drawing metal band on the strip, and we were a Christian metal band.
I was going to say, you must have spent a long time.
Wait. Night Riot was a Christian metal band?
Yes, we were.
Wow.
What made you Christian?
Oh, we just our lyrics. I mean, we were Christian.
Just our lyrics.
Pardon me, the guys in the band were Christians. And
what's an example of a Night Riot Christian song?
Serve Thy Master.
Kind of like what Allison might sing.
Right.
You know, I'm like, that sounds way too much like BDSM.
It was
right. Exactly. Thank you, Jenna.
It was pretty unbelievable because we were influenced by Black Sabbath and Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. And the amazing thing is Ronnie James Dio would come to our shows and watch me sing Ronnie James Dio songs to him. And that blew my mind.
Well, it was one of the best things that you do, but you kind of have to do it to me because not every audience gets it, is that you sing Ozzy singing Dio and Dio singing Ozzy.
I do. Funny. I do. Because it'd be so awesome because I
remember on the ride to San Diego, you were doing that to me and we were rolling in the back seat. The two guys in the front had no idea what we were talking about.
Yeah, you have to know Ozzy and Dio. But the funny thing is, like, remember when Elton John and Billy Joel did that tour and they did each other's songs?
Right.
That'd be great if, you know, Dio and Ozzy did that because it'd be like, crazy, but that's how it goes. And then Ozzy, just a rainbow in the dark. Just a rainbow in the dark. You know?
I'm telling you, me and him were just laughing in the back seat. Right.
When is your next show in L.A.?
My next show is tomorrow night. I'm headlining Infusion Lounge at Universal City Walk.
Wow. Hmm. What time is that?
That show is at 8 p.m.
Awesome. Okay, well, my show's at 8:30. But anyway, Jenna Sharp, we love Jenna Sharp. Indiana housewife.
I know. That's your go-to.
No, but I'm just trying to get the context. Now you're everywhere. I saw you Sunday and you looked amazing at Parrish's Club.
Oh yeah, I started going to, now that we're talking about like Christian death metal.
Right.
I started going to church on Sunday, and you know, there's like
the
spankings and wax play.
It's a different type of church.
And grinding.
Oh, it's good. It's fun.
Yeah, alcohol, lots of good music.
Actually,
it was a fun time.
It was fun. I missed you because you were there.
You did end up talking to my partner, apparently. So.
Did I?
You did.
Okay.
He mentioned that he met you.
Well, I think he came up. He came up to me. I was wondering who that was. And then the guy dressed like Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror hit on me.
Holy shit. I found that guy on Facebook, and I was like, I have got the biggest crush on you.
He's pretty hot.
Oh, my God.
But
did you see the rest of his pictures? He does a
well, Mark, you're a good kisser.
I have no idea. I know.
Soulful eyes and the big arms that say, I'll make you feel safe.
I actually became a Johnny Depp sandwich because I had Edward Scissorhands on one side of me. And then Jack Sparrow on the other.
Yeah, they had a lot of Johnny Depps rolling around. So
speaking of bizarre fetishes, that's a fetish.
Johnny Depp fetish.
I have a fetish for Rango. Does that count?
Yes, the Rango fetish. Does count. So, but they had a guy that used to go to like the clubs a long time ago, and he had costumes for every single Johnny Depp movie. Every time a Johnny Depp movie would come out, the same week he would be like trying around Bar Sinister with that costume. It was very strange. But speaking of that, I was going to say, Jenna is, and I haven't actually addressed this on the show, but you are in phenomenal shape. I've said that before.
Oh, thanks.
But you're muscular, but feminine. How do you achieve that?
How do I achieve feminine?
Muscular but feminine.
I
was born with this, you know. No, but you've seen
girls with uteruses that are muscular that just they lose the femininity.
I don't know. Okay. I actually don't feel sometimes that I look that feminine because the last time I was in West Hollywood, I had a gentleman come up and he said, "Well, my partner and I have this bet going. Are you an M to F?" And I was like, "No, HRT. I'm not." And they were like, "Okay, thanks," and walked off. I was like, "Dude, no, who won? I want to know who won the bet."
That's male to female for our people that don't.
Jenna, also, you
don't look like an M to F to me. I'll tell you that
from a photographic point of view and everything. She has probably got the god's bone structure for a face to photograph.
Absolutely.
Yeah, her body is fantastic. Her, just from an objectification point of view.
Every picture of this woman comes out fantastic.
That's not true. I burn the ones that look bad.
No, that works too.
She can't take a compliment.
She's
got a beautiful voice for radio. I've told her that before.
It's because I sound like a dude.
She's no, never less than three quarters chub.
If you're less than 7/8 of a chub or 3/4 of a chub on this woman,
you're not on this show.
I don't know what's going on.
You're not on this show. Like,
yeah. How did you become? I didn't even know you were a nylon girl. How did you become a nylon girl?
I've been a nylon girl for a long time.
I don't think I've ever seen you in nylon.
I actually was stage manager for a couple of years.
I do prom. We shoot tons of HD video.
Right.
And this year,
now
we're coming up with a plan to actually get it distributed worldwide.
Right.
And we're cutting stuff. And I cut a promo of Jenna that I need to send you via Facebook.
Okay.
Of about 3 or 4 minutes. Do you remember that one?
When you guys were interviewing me?
Yeah. When your audition.
Yeah.
Which we need to talk about, the audition.
Let's talk about the audition.
And it was fabulous. I mean, it was like the shooting, the editing, everything just came together beautifully.
So Allison, if you looked at her ass. Day too.
The auditions are so much fun. My first one I went to.
Right.
The interviewers were fabulous. I also got tied up, right? Like yes. Chris Kiss tied me. Like,
they had an overhead hook.
Had an overhead hook. They like on a crane. My arms, my feet all tied together. And I was doing like acrobats just because, it was fun.
And she was, there were three girls there that day. It was you and Elizabeth Reed.
Elizabeth.
Velvet Vixen, she calls herself now. And the other girl who kind of like cried, wimped out and ran because she was totally into bondage. But the moment you took a rope out, she collapsed. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And
Chris was like, can I tie you up?
Yes,
please.
Too.
Oh, we had
hands,
some great.
Hands, feet, yes, please do it.
And Jenna and Liz just both took off like a rocket. And they're both, we should talk about the auditions. Why don't you talk about the auditions?
Because you're going to have auditions for the Nylon
in
Girls.
In 2 days.
Wow.
Let's talk about the auditions.
And if your car breaks down in front of where we're doing it, we might let you in to make a phone call.
But you will get a little bit of a sneak peek.
So are you going to be tying up girls at this audition?
Maybe.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Okay. That sounds fun. Let's do that.
So. Michael's already said yes.
We have to know which ones are going to hang around.
I have a list in my pocket, but that's too busy to look at.
What makes a nylon girl? What, in your opinion, makes a nylon girl? What are you looking for?
I think the bottom line is attitude. And it's most of the nylon girls we've always worked with were never really totally over the top.
Right.
And, you know, within the group, there's, you know, like a little infighting, and I have the dirt and drama, but there's actually very little of it.
We love
and,
each other. We really do.
Everybody comes together in the end, and I haven't been too much of a lech, and I think that helps, but I can't help it. It's in my genes.
Right.
So to speak.
Yeah, we got it.
It's out of his genes.
Honestly, but I think Michael tries to pick fights so that we're like, mirror.
Oh my
god!
Oh,
tickle fight or like a pillow fight or something, and we're like, oh my god, I love you so much.
No, I've had some big time producers in Hollywood see the footage and they go, you have to create conflict.
Right.
Conflict is interesting, like girls ripping clothes off and stuff
that. I understand that, which I don't agree with.
No,
I'd rather just see. Yeah, but
no, yeah, no. So we really try to concentrate on the empowerment of this person who happens to be female. I'm sure you, maybe down the line, if things change within you, you might want to start the Nylon Boys, and I can license that to you.
thanks a lot.
It's a maybe, though.
Well, speaking of tickling, I was on, because Nicole will tell you, I do a lot of research on my female guests, right?
Lots of research. Hours and hours of research.
I was researching.
You could say he got pretty tied up
researching,
for this one.
I was researching... I was researching. I was on your website today.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of tickling.
Yeah, actually, a lot of those pictures are from shoots I did with the Nylon Girls or from events I did with the Nylon Girls.
So you are ticklish.
I'm incredibly ticklish.
Really?
Oh my God, my favorite
ticklish.
Memory
is a problem
is
in my life.
It was Nikki. It was Mistress Nikki Nefarious.
Nikki Nefarious.
Oh my God, that was one of my favorite memories with you guys.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, please,
that's
please,
actually,
tell
I think
us,
that's
tell
the pictures
audience.
He's talking about.
Yes, no, Nikki Nefarious was tickling you.
We were at Club Bazaar.
We were, yeah. We were at Cernix Club Bazaar.
And the 999, right? Yeah.
333. It was at 333.
Oh, Nikki was there. She was doing bondage. She actually tied me and David up together and spun us, like, in front of the crowd.
Right.
So we were suspended.
Yeah, you know.
And then I don't know if it was for fun or what, but I was, like, really enjoying watching Nikki tie Allison up. And then all of a sudden, she's sitting her down, like, on her lap, and she just starts tickling her. And I was like, I've never seen someone so happy in my whole life.
Yeah, the pictures in Nikki's face. She's just lit up like a Christmas tree. And I'm I'm laughing so hard I'm almost in tears. I mean, but she had a great time. I had fun, but yes, I'm incredibly ticklish.
Yeah, because I can go over and tickle you right now if you'd like. Okay. So, Jeffrey,
I'm don't know if the mics right would now. Like the noise that came out of my mouth.
Right.
I'm tickling her right now.
No,
it's
that's
not
the
working.
Cutest thing. Do you like snort when you get tickled? And
oh, no. I scream. Like, I squeal.
Oh, I gotta see
and
that.
I scream.
Come on, somebody tickle her right now.
I'm serious. Real serious. I gotta hang this. With her for a while, so I have to be good. Right. So, yeah, I'll get hit.
Right. So, anyway, so.
Good boy.
I can't tickle you, Mr. Allison.
Oh.
That means you have to stand up.
I got to stand up. Hold on. Nicole, I'm going to please comment on this, please.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a brave man who goes in and tries to tickle a dominatrix.
That's what
right.
I was thinking,
like,
too.
The last person who tickled me, I actually, because I do still switch on occasion, I took a tickling session. And I actually headbutted the guy so
she's,
hard
she's showing a lot of
that he had a welt on his forehead.
She will bite you.
Yeah.
All right.
I will. It's true.
Thank you, Allison.
I leave wills.
Now, Jeffrey Pierce is not just a talented stand-up comedian and an impressionist.
Indeed.
Now you are venturing into Nicole's former territory and making comic books.
Yes, I am. Thank you for bringing it up. I'm really excited. I was on a TV show called of the Marijuana Show, which
go figure.
Yeah. Yep. It's on YouTube and marijuana.com, but it is.
Well, wait, Marijuana Show has marijuana.com?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's it was the Shark Tank for stoners. And I.
Stoners. I gotta go on marijuana.com.
It's true. And the funny thing is, of the 10 contestants, I was the only one that got an investment.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Cool.
I'm a tenacious bastard, and I just wouldn't say no for an answer. So that gave me the ability to create my new comic book. Now, I'll explain the two stars of the show, Wendy Robbins and Karen Paul, are a lesbian couple from Taos, New Mexico. And they gave me a challenge on the show to make a comic book about them, about a lesbian couple.
Whoa.
So I created.
That's awesome.
Rainy Day Women.
Awesome.
Very nice.
And that is my lesbian super duo. Apologies to Bob Dylan.
Right.
They didn't know at the time that I was...
like he's going to mind.
Yeah, they didn't know at the time that I was raised by lesbians in here in L.A. So
right.
I had a lot of great insight.
So you had two mothers.
I had two moms in the
now
70s.
Now it makes sense why you like women.
Yeah, and you know...
Hey,
I'm telling you, it was tough because like nowadays there's Ellen DeGeneres, right, and Portia de Rossi. There's like lesbian role models. When I was a kid, the only role models I had were Laverne and Shirley. That was tough.
Well, there was Maude too, but
it was
quick question. I think this is on a lot of listeners' minds. Like during your performance, do you actually like have
plays
a bong
up?
With you? Yeah.
Well, now I do because it's in Colorado. It's legal to consume. So in the middle of my set, someone will undoubtedly come up and, you know, make me get high in the middle of my set.
So this is why I wanted to do some shows with you in Colorado.
Yeah.
And you flaked. I don't know. But so you're actually doing comedy and people are doing bongs in the audience.
Yes. And I want to actually, you know, book you ahead of time.
We'll figure it out. We'll
at
figure it out.
The Speakeasy Vape Lounge where I do my show, Can I Get a Laugh?
We'll figure it out. So people are vaping while you're on stage.
They're vaping, they're dabbing, they're doing the whole, you know.
Oh, dabbing, I do.
They're eating
once,
edibles.
Jesus.
But it's great because tourists now come over from all over the world. You'll be hanging out, and there's people from Finland over here and Spain and stuff.
Right.
So.
And is it? To answer your question, Nicole, it's easier when people are stoned to make them laugh.
Oh, I know it that.
It is, yeah.
I asked if it was technically cheating.
And
I mean, people spend
cheating,
so
no.
much time pumping the audience full of alcohol. If you're also getting them high, you're just like shooting fish in a barrel.
But
he's right,
but people can bomb, though.
Because there's a delayed reaction.
There
so you
got
to be very on point.
And you know what's neat about, I've had Mark in my show, The Dopest Show on Earth, like several times, and Mark is just great to look at. They'll start laughing before he says a word.
You should walk out there
to my life.
That guy's cool. It's like a cartoon kid. Like, dude, the monsters are here.
They trip out. Every now and then, because I talk fast, I got to stop and let them catch up a little bit. And then you keep going. But
you're very stoner friendly. I'll say that.
No. The stoner people love me. And so the nylon goes now. Nylon I've seen pictures. This is, and I talked to you last time we were here, and I remember last time you were here was my birthday show, and you looked at Bree Walker like most of our guests look at Nicole. It was a whole thing, but we had.
Well, I'm old enough to have watched her for years.
Right.
Do the news.
Right. But yeah. But
and go through her.
And the other thing is when people fetishize pantyhose. Especially in the
tights,
fetish
scene. Nylon.
Normally it's
high waisted panties. No, sheer black.
Well, this is what I'm. Right.
Could you stand up for a second?
Oh, I'm not wearing any underwear.
Could you stand up for a second? No, I
think you're seeing if you're nylon girl's material.
The response, this is how I describe how this whole thing.
Okay, there's Nicole standing up. She's, yes, looks. What do you think? I won't say. You tell me.
Seriously, high chub factor. Those jeans are skin tight.
In her pocket?
Turn around.
No, it's a hair tie. There's a reason.
Oh, okay.
Well, they do the same thing.
You're looking very closely at her.
She's got a condom with her.
My dick is so small it'll work.
Right. But so you were looking very intently at her ass, Jenna.
Well, of course. That's the point,
right? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
That's what I was doing.
When she turns around, there's no breasts. I'm going to look at her butt.
Nicole, those are stretch jeans, right? Honey, those are stretch jeans,
skin-tight,
right?
They're
stretch jeans.
They are a material that are skin-tight because I have and a huge thing for Mortal Kombat.
They are skin-tight. They're really more of a pair of tights that look like jeans than the opposite. Just walk up and down Van Nuys Boulevard or over on Flower Street.
Right. But what I was going to say is, when in the fetish scene especially, when most people fetishize hoes, it's usually with the garters and like the fishnets and things like that.
Here is where this came from.
Okay.
When I was in junior high, all the mini skirts swept in. And it was, this is the late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
And it was torture for all of the guys because skirts just got shorter.
Right.
And you got shots of garters, shots of butt and leg. And you're 13, 14, 15, and you're walking with a nuke chub.
Right.
Okay? That's why school teachers can't keep their hands off these 15-year-olds, right?
If you're lucky, you get a little bush.
Yeah. Well, with a hose, the girls would wear it with even shorter skirts and sometimes not wear underwear, thinking that they're securing a hose. And we might have to beep this out, but I'm going to take a chance.
No, there's nothing to be beeped out.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
Once in a while, you could actually get a shot of like 15, 16-year-old Bush.
Right.
Through the hose.
Oh, please. Bush is
good,
yeah.
From that era, that was
And that was the 60s.
Huge,
yeah, in the 60s, it was hairy.
60s, 70s.
It was big. It was hairy.
Well, yeah, but things tightened up, got trim. Yeah, I'm working on having Bush make a comeback. Not sexually, not politically. But
I'm going with Clinton. Oh, I'm just going.
Right. We're not talking about the band either.
Here is, though, how this came about.
Right.
Is when I graduated film school, I actually just fell into touring rock and roll. I work with War. I actually did 3 months with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, on their tour. One of the most amazing events of my life.
It's great.
And then. Then I weighed 80 pounds less. And so anyway, I flew up to San Francisco and did two midnight New Year shows with the Tubes.
Okay.
Remember the Tubes?
I remember the Tubes.
Oh, yeah. Great band, the Tubes.
Right.
Their dancers wore three little pieces of tape, or two on the breast over the nipples.
Right.
They wore the sheer tan hose with three playing cards over the bush and went out and danced on stage. And I'd never seen anything like that. And with Mr. Visualist here, it shifted my DNA.
Yeah.
Then I came up with the idea that the nylon girls should look a little bit like the Droogs out of Clockwork Orange.
Right.
Because they wear the hose, can be any type of hose or tights, suspenders. And once in a while, we put the nylon girls in little different kind of derbies or caps.
I've seen
and it. And it is an amazing look. And here's the trick.
Right.
The underwear is on the inside, not the outside, like your Vegas dancers or whatever, Broadway dancers. I wanted the look to be like if you're walking down Wilshire Boulevard at noon on a Wednesday and all these dresses got magically removed, and the women's underwear got exposed.
Right.
Because most women do not dress like Victoria's Secret models. They're getting dressed in the dark. They do mismatches. The only thing they worry about is that it's not even if it's clean, but they're kind of covered.
Right.
And maybe the type
Jen and Allison are looking at each other like, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, first off, back up. The tubes. Three playing cards. Was it like three of a kind? It was like a straight flush or what? I mean.
It depended on the bush.
Okay, I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And Allison was like. The person that are dealing out the cards beforehand.
Yeah. And Allison, you must trim because you're like three playing cards.
Oh, I mean, that I understand. No, my face was at the idea of not putting on, not caring if my underwear were clean.
Everybody here has got clean underwear except for Nicole. She's not wearing any.
Here's the thing, though,
Mark. That's because I don't think underwear is sanitary.
Just in closing, most of the girls have never heard this speech, but it's funny because her friend who got her into this, Rebecca, and like Kat, instantly got it. And these people think anti-fashion and anti-unconventional eroticism.
Right.
And to me, that's what gets me going. Like, you know, after a while, somebody being fully naked, you're like at a nude beach.
Well, I was gonna
ask you. Just worry about where, like, the concessions are.
Well, but you're talking high-waisted. Would you rather see a girl in granny panties than a thong?
If they're super tight and Sharon Black, unlike on Nicole.
But my favorite thing to do is to wear the thong, right?
Right.
Really low.
Right.
But then to have the pantyhose high.
Yes.
With the suspenders.
Because around, I would say probably the 90s, I guess, pantyhose was out. Like, women used to always wear pantyhose.
It is making a gigantic comeback. Right. I just read an article in the Wall Street Journal because it's all about money.
Right.
You know, fashion money, Madison Avenue.
It used to come
it's
in the egg
charging,
and the whole thing.
Coming back. It's huge.
In my comic book days, I used to just wear shorts and fancy little tights, like, you know, you have the lace tights. You have all sorts of different types of tights.
I'm wearing shorts and nylons right now.
Did anybody tickle you?
No one would have tickled me.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I'm...
I write scary stories.
Okay, Allison, please stand. Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great look. And I like it because it keeps everything tight and you can bend over without having to worry about showing anything.
Just, like, goes right up.
But the thing is, these two women, you can put them in potato sacks, they're going to be beautiful.
I do look good in a potato sack.
Another thing about, this is
high
waisted. I just have a very long torso because I'm 5'9". But as far as high waisted stuff actually goes, like these are my ribs.
You know, we could have done a makeover here. I just realized that.
But the concept is a lot of times keeping you in shape, it'll actually make it tighter if you're wearing nylon. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to find tights and nylons. But it'll just naturally tighten the same way like it. Girdle would.
Well,
but
last night, a very good friend of mine called me up and said, I threw my back out. Can you bring some Soma and Norco over? And I was like, gee, I just ran out, you know. And I said, what we should do, though, is get you a great pair of support hose, cut it off at the knees, open the crotch for convenience, of course, you know.
Totally. You really like nylons.
Professional. Mark, you could have been my co-assistant surgeon there.
Do you
scrub up well?
Mm.
He seems like he might have an odd bedside manner.
I'd like to think so, but I don't know.
It takes a little adjusting, and a lot of alcohol.
Half my dates are redressing women. I swear to God, and they love it because a friend of mine is a really famous editor. This woman, she's a little overweight, and she's gay, and she goes, I'm sick of dressing plain. So on Facebook, six women came in on, told her what to do. Right. I said, screw that. I went, got samples of like a mix between an SOA look and a hardcore cowgirl look. Pick the photos this out. You need a leather jacket. You need this. Well, I don't look good because I'm big. No, you don't realize that dark colors can do this and that and all that.
Right.
And she goes, you know what? Out of all my female friends, my male friend helped me the most on how to dress.
Boy, I wish Michael would have taught my two moms how to dress. That would have been awesome.
A lot of flannel, huh, Jeffrey?
Hey, bring them on the next show.
A lot of flannel in the 70s, And overalls, too. What was
overalls,
that?
Overalls, but I'm sure they had pantyhose, too. Where does the time go? It's amazing. Jenna, what are we doing? How do people get a hold of you, and what are you doing? So you're going to be at the Hollywood Fringe Festival hanging out.
Yeah, I'll be there frequently at the Fringe. And then the Nylon Girls auditions, which is on Saturday. You guys didn't say where it was
Where is the audition?
It'll be at Melrose Light Space.
Okay, there we go. Melrose Light Space.
Find me or Allison or Jenna or Kat on Facebook. It's the Nylon Girls. Nylon Girls auditions were all over the place. And if you can't figure that out, don't show up.
And it helps if you like to get tied up.
Really, really funny.
If you like to get tied up.
If you have a fetish, that's even better. So I love bondage.
Bring something new to the Nylon Girls. And bring in nylons.
Yeah.
Please.
Do they have to bring their own nylons or?
No, I've got.
You don't have to.
No, we have the nylons. No. Bring your own.
I imagine you with a whole drawer full of nylons.
Oh, just a drawer?
I was like, I don't know.
We probably have 30 cubic or 40 cubic feet.
See a room?
Because I shoot videos too. I have so much stuff. It's unbelievable.
40 cubic feet of nylon. I have the hardest time throwing away any nylon. I don't even care how ripped up they are.
That's still useful. That's just a different
look. The nylons are cool. I just keep them forever.
Anyway, so
I have an entire one of those great big suitcases,
right?
That is on wheels, and full of nylons. And now, I can't get rid of them.
And now, well, trust me. Now all of our listeners and viewers will be like, "I'll help you get rid of them." But Jeffrey, how do we get the Rainy Day Women and other comics of yours?
Well, it is LA Pride Month, and I will be celebrating that tomorrow, 8531 Santa Monica Boulevard. At Tea Garden Smoking Accessories, I'll be doing a book signing of my comic books from 3 to 5.
At Tea Garden Smoking Accessories.
Yep.
Open
8531 Santa Monica Boulevard.
8531?
So if you're a lesbian or you like lesbians and you like pot, come on down and get a signed copy of this.
I would say pretty much almost everyone tuning in this probably likes lesbians.
And yeah.
Everybody loves lesbians and pot. And how do people get a hold of you? Do you have a website or you just Facebook and all that?
People can get a hold of me on Facebook, Twitter, the whole Instagram thing, all that.
There you
go. All that stuff. And
Rainy Day Women.
Tomorrow I'll be at the Infusion Lounge headlining there tomorrow at Universal City Walk. And then Saturday I'm at the Clown House comedy show.
Yeah, Clown House, see me tomorrow night.
Okay.
I was just going to say it's a bummer we didn't get to talk about it because the moment you're discussing yourself, I'm like, you must have spent a lot of time at the Rainbow.
Yes, I did.
Wait a second. I got that reversed. Go see him tomorrow night at Fusion Lounge. I might check that out.
Okay.
And then see me Saturday night. But anyway, go to Jeffrey Peterson.
At
the complex. Go to Jeffrey Peterson. And always fun. Always a fun time. Anytime you're in town, you're welcome on the show. We got so much more to talk about. We'll talk about all your rainbow days.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Ernie from Not
Body Count. And
just a rainbow in the toilet.
Exactly. Allison, I think she's laughing more than when I tickled her. Allison, your website is Miss Allison Lee.
Right? Lee.
Miss Allison Lee. L-E-I-G-H. Yeah. Like
L-E-I-G-H.
Vivian.
Yes.
Excuse
like
me.
Vivian Lee.
I understand.
Yeah.
But on Instagram, you're Ms. M.S. Allison.
Yes.
Lee. And just go to everywhere. Just go to your website, Miss Allison Lee, and see the tickling pictures and everything else, right?
Yes, I'm on all of the social media networks. You can find me.
Yes, and Michael, how do people get a hold of you?
through the LA Fetish Film Festival on Facebook or my personal. I do answer PMs and stuff, but I wanted to do one quick plug. The festival is in November.
Right.
It's being planned right now by the team.
Right.
And we are looking for video submissions. They can be 1 minute to 5 minutes, anything to do with fetishism.
Right.
And I don't want stuff downloaded off of PornTube. We
creative,
want original, artistic, fetish-driven, can be sexually themed heavily, but we're the think art.
Right.
You're not going to shock them. If you want to make an impression, it's going to have to be deep.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of deep, go to NicoleSix.com. Did you know she's her new book?
Actually, I think everybody here would like it.
Some Fucked Up Shit is the title.
Fucked Up Shit.
Some Fucked Up Shit.
I'm excited about it.
Collection of short stories. And
they're twisted, and I use sex in a disturbing manner because I write scary stories. And, you know, they're interesting little supernatural adventures.
And
and fucked up.
Some you fucked should up shit. Drop by the auditions if you want
go
to.
I was waiting for this.
I don't think I'd be a nylon girl, but, you know, if someone wants to make a short fetish
film,
I know Mark
works
on
when they walk in.
Let's do it. Let's make a short fetish film, Nicole.
We could do that.
Let's do that. Anyway, and please, go to gothcomedian.com and check me out. Blue Balls Null this weekend, next weekend, and the weekend after at the Fringe Festival. I've been saying Fetish Festival all week because I have you. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for being here. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Thank you.